decision was made about this, in a way, 42 years ago, when I promised to care for Muriel in sickness and in health until death do us part. So as I told the students and the faculty, as a man of my word, integrity has something to do with it. But so does fairness. She has cared for me fully and sacrificially all these years. If I cared for her for the next 40 years, I would not be out of debt. Duty, however, can be grim and stoic. But there is more. I love Muriel. She is a delight to me. Her childlike dependence and confidence in me, her warm love, occasional flashes of that wit that I used to relish so, her happy spirit and tough resilience in the face of her continually distressing frustration. I do not have to care for her. I get to care for her. It is a high honor to care for so wonderful a person. End of quote. When I first read these words, I was reminded of the personal example of commitment I have observed in my own family. Some of you would not remember my mother and father, but for a number of years when I first came here, they came to California and actually lived here. My mother, during those days, was in the early stages of Alzheimer's. They finally decided they needed to go back home because of the medical care that was needed and because all of their close personal friends were back there where my father had spent 50 years as the president and chancellor of Cedarville College. I watched my father, who had made a commitment some 50 years earlier to care for my mom, I watched him as he observed her failure in her ability to respond. I remember one day he told me that he used to take mom with him when he would go on weekend preaching assignments. And he said, over the years when we would travel, we would have such wonderful conversations in the car. But he said, after a while, when she had this disease, as we would travel, it was like having somebody in the car who wasn't there. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know really who she was or what was going on. But my father loved her. And it came to the place where, some of you know if you've ever cared for Alzheimer's, that my mother became a little bit feisty about doing the things that she needed to do to take care of herself, caring for her clothing and all of that. And it was increasingly evident that my father would not be able to take care of her any longer. And so she was placed in a home near to my father's home in Ohio. I can tell you that that was the saddest day of my father's life. I never saw my father cry very many times, but I saw him cry when he did that. Every week, he would go there to visit her several times. He would always take her out to eat once a week. She loved Barm sausage restaurants, which they don't have out here, but they have all over back there. So they would go out to eat, the two of them. And whenever I would go to see my parents, Dad would make sure that the three of us, or if Donna was with me, the four of us would go for breakfast. My father treated my mother as if everything was okay. And I may have told you this, that one occasion when she was pretty deep into Alzheimer's, and I heard my father say, I couldn't believe he said this, he said, Ruby, would you like to pray for the food? And I thought, Dad, what are you doing? My mother began to pray, and she prayed for every child in the family by name. She prayed for things that had happened in recent days. She prayed a lucid prayer as if nothing was wrong. When she said amen, she went back into her fog. I actually talked to the neurologist about this one day, and he said, you know, there is growing evidence that the thing that has been driven most deeply into a person's mental capacity is usually the last thing that is gone. So if your mother prayed and she prayed a lucid prayer, the probability is because that was one of the most important things in her life. I don't know if that's true or not, but I choose to believe it because I know my mother was really a woman of prayer. I promise you I wouldn't be here today if it were not for that.
Well, we'll have more about how to be an encouragement in your marriage when we meet together tomorrow. This is Turning Point. We're studying the joy of encouragement, and today's lesson is called The Encouragement Zone. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Joy of Encouragement, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.